Welcome to the View Church Tailview podcast. We trust that the message today will inspire you to be a changed life, changing lives. If you have a testimony which you would like to share with us, please email us at info@viewchurch.co.za. We would love to hear from you. Or if you would like to contribute towards the ministry, find our giving options online at viewchurch.co.za/giving. You're listening to a message from Graham Evans.
I'm going to speak to you today about how to keep the spirit of Christmas. That's the issue. I love Christmas. I've shared it over the years. But you know what? Very soon Christmas passes, and there are moments in our life when it almost appears as if we've never had Christmas. But that's not God's plan, and I want to share that with you. I want you to think about the Holy Spirit, because he's so connected to Jesus. And as I was sharing at Hope Church in George last week, there was about a 34-year period where the very foundations of the universe were changed. It started with the impregnation of a virgin. Mary was impregnated by the Holy Spirit with the Son of God. And right through the pregnancy, right through the early years of Christ's life, he was protected by the Holy Spirit. But then the time came for him to minister, and he was anointed with the power of the Holy Spirit. He came on him in the form of a dove, and he started an amazing ministry. Remember, Jesus always ministered as a human being, not as God. So he ministered as a human empowered by the Spirit. When it came to Christ's death, then a very important thing was the Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness to be tempted. And in the temptation, he protected and strengthened Jesus so that when he went to the cross, he was sinless. And God could accept the blood sacrifice as the payment for all our sins. The Word of God also tells us that it was the Spirit of God who raised him from the dead. You do know that the resurrection of Jesus is so important, because it enables you and I to give our hearts to Jesus and become new creations. That actual supernatural change can take place in our lives. And of course, we know that shortly after that, Jesus ascended into heaven. And when his disciples were concerned, he said, "Guys, it's better for you that I go, so that the Counselor, the Comforter, the one who will give you power will be able to come." And with those disciples, they were never the same after they were baptized with the Holy Spirit. And God instructed them to be filled. Now, I want to just mention for a moment that in our lives, there are always seasons when we're so in love with God, we're so excited, God's using us, we just seem to be strong in the most difficult situation. Things kind of go well at work. Our boss is impressed with our attitude of prayer. The kids are doing well at school. Our relationships are going fine. Isn't that so? You come to church, you've got so much to give. A word of encouragement. You don't even know that it's actually a word of wisdom or knowledge from God. You've got discernment. Somebody says they're sick. You grab hold of them. You pray for them. And it's awesome, isn't it? We all have... Guys, you wouldn't be here if you didn't have that experience. But, and of course, in John 10 verse 10, Jesus said, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." The NIV says, "Have it more abundantly." Guys, Jesus said, "I'm not only coming to give you a ticket to heaven, I'm coming to fill you. I want you to have an extraordinary supernatural life. I want you to get to that point where you just know that the best thing that ever happened to you was to give your heart to Christ and to be in a church." Do you know that View Church is one of the best things you've ever done, hey? Okay, that's great. Absolutely. But guys, on the other hand, there are seasons when we don't feel, can I put that in inverted commas, so in love with God or so in love with people. We don't feel powerful. Stuff goes wrong. The kids fail the maths exams. They're sent to detention. The headmaster wants to see you. At work, everything's there. The clients, the customers. It seems you're working in a snake pit. Anyone here working in a snake pit? Okay, everybody else is out to grab you, to get you. Church, you know, you end up having this rip-roaring row with somebody after church, whatever. You've got financial pressures, everything breaks. Last year, in a space of a week, the kettle went, the pool cleaner went, the microwave oven went, and something else, the vacuum cleaner. I still haven't replaced the vacuum cleaner yet. But stuff goes like that, doesn't it? And you feel under pressure. And can I tell you this? It's part of life. And this is, I love this. This is what Peter said in 1 Peter 4, verse 12. Dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery trials you were going through. As if something strange were happening to you. It's not strange. You've got to understand that life consists of four seasons. It's spring, summer, autumn, and winter. And I often say this when I'm marrying couples. I say this to them. You know, you're going through a wonderful summer season, but the test of your marriage is how the two of you get through winter. Guys, it's so important that when you're going through winter that your attitude's right, because when you get that right, spring is around the corner. And you know what? Sometimes in the depth of winter, the devil whispers in your ear and says, this is permanent winter. Imagine if it was cold like this 365 days a year. I mean, what keeps us happy is the knowledge that spring is around the corner and summer and you can go to the beach. So, but that is with God, and good things happen to us. We're challenged. The Bible says, be happy when you go through trials, because it'll increase your patience and your endurance. But guys, you've got to understand that the winter periods are a time when we are vulnerable. And I want to just, if you could put up that picture of the container. Every one of us has an inflow and an outflow. When we are under pressure, the outflow is often faster than the inflow. Okay. So what happens, all kinds of stuff happening, and the level of our emotional and spiritual tank begins to drop. Things get anxious. Maybe we get a bit emotional. And we can actually head towards burnout. Guys with me? Sometimes the outflow seems to be out of our control. You can't control the kids. You can't control your boss. You can't control whatever. It just seems to be flowing out. But you know what? God has given us the ability to increase our inflow. And it's quite interesting how vulnerable we can be. Elijah was one of the greatest men who ever served God in the Old Testament. He gets to the pinnacle of his ministry. He calls fire down from heaven. He destroys the prophets of Baal. And the next morning, he wakes up drained. In that moment, the devil sends Queen Jezebel to tell him that she's going to kill him before the end of the day. In that moment of being drained, he flipped. Can I tell you this? If you're a Christian, you're never empty totally. Some of you might feel empty. If somebody taps you, you're going to echo. Anyone like that? You just think, there's so much is happening. I'm not feeling anything. And this is what he said. He ran into the wilderness. 1 Kings 19. Then he went alone into the wilderness, traveling all day. He sat down under a solitary broom tree. You know what he did in that time of draining? He isolated himself. I want to ask you, have you isolated yourself from God and from the church and from life group? And pray that he might die. I've had enough, Lord. Take my life. For I'm no better than my ancestors who have already died. You know what he was saying? Dead people can't minister and do stuff. Well, that's how I feel. I feel that I'm so useless. I'm so valueless. I might as well be dead. Have you ever got into that vulnerable place where you think, don't even ask me to serve in the church. Don't even ask me to witness or help somebody. I'm as good as dead. That's the deception that comes our way when we are drained. How many of you know that's not God's plan for us? But listen to this, guys. I believe that the ongoing pressure of life actually disguises the fact that we're draining or have drained. And I just want to give you some of the signs to various degrees. If this is in your life all the time, you need to have a good look at your inflow and outflow. In other words, what you need to do is find out what's draining you and find out how you can deal with that and then to increase your inflow. Does that make sense to you? That you've got to find an inflow. Signs of burnout, you feel depleted, fatigued. Even when you've had a good night's sleep, you still feel tired. Ever feel like that? Or maybe you're not sleeping well at night. Guys, those are all signs that we need to. Or maybe you're just irritable. Irritable. That's my problem. When I'm heading for burnout, I'm impossible because I just get so irritable. What about getting angry? Forgetful, lacking in concentration, struggling to make decisions. You know that you need to make decisions. You can't make them. You're anxious. Maybe you're sad. You're thinking, I don't know why I'm sad today. The pressure's getting to you. You're apathetic. You're hearing all these great things that the church is doing. You're just saying, blah. Christmas in winter. Oh, my word. Just like, so what? You know what? I'm feeling frozen. Or unproductive, pessimistic. You just think South Africa's going down the tubes. No, it's gone down the tubes. And this, and it's stuff, and the drought. We're all going to end up without any water. You won't be able to wash your hair for 2 years. I mean, it just, guys. Okay, let's move on. Guys, can I tell you this? We are designed as human beings to feel uncomfortable when we drain. There's something inside of us that says we need to find a filling. The problem is that there's a whole range of physical, emotional, and spiritual fillings that we can take hold of to fill us. Okay, right up there. Can I tell you the ones that people easily head for is alcohol? People who end up consuming too much alcohol, sometimes it's pressures that started in childhood. Issues, things that haven't been dealt with. Drugs. We often say, ooh, people are taking drugs. And it can be recreational drugs. It might be medication. Just overusing medication. That if people touch you, you rattle. There's so many pills inside of you. Guys, pornography. Casual sex. Guys, it's like we're going, ooh. We've got to help people to find the right filling. We can say, stop it. It doesn't necessarily help. And this is what Paul said in Ephesians 5 verse 18. Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. You see, what it does, it brings a temporary up, and then you go so far down, you get under the tank. Don't be drunk with wine. He could say, don't use porn. He could say, don't take drugs. It's all external fillers that everybody in the world takes because their tank is empty or emptying, and they know they need to fill it. He says, instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms and hymns, spiritual songs among yourselves, making music to the Lord in your heart, and giving thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of Jesus Christ. Guys, that's a whole sermon on its own. The power of worship and thanksgiving and praise. Guys, right there in the midst of your issues and needs is a way of filling your tank. We've got to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Don't come late to church on a Sunday. Make sure that when the first song strikes up, you hear, because you know what it's going to do? It's going to, didn't you feel full this morning? Even the songs we're singing, I mean the Christmas carols, immediately you feel a whole lot more full than you were when you came in, right? So don't bunk church next Sunday, okay, because you're just going to drain. Okay, can I tell you this, that every good church will design itself around not only helping people to get filled, but to teach them how to get filled. Yeah. That's what I'm doing this morning. I'm hoping that you will see this whole service as something that is filling you up and teaching you how to be filled. That's our job. And that's why the scripture in 1 Corinthians 14 talks about the gifts of the Spirit. It talks about edifying, uplifting, and encouraging. That's what the gift of prophecy is for. Not to say, yeah, you adulterers, blah, blah, blah. That's not going to fill you, is it? You're not coming back next week. Okay, so we understand that we're going to find constructive, not destructive ways of filling. Can I tell you this with children? You can get all angry with your teenagers because all their friends are into parties and this and that and the other, and you're worried about your kids. But do you actually understand that they're struggling with being drained? You got to ask for the wisdom of God to help your kids. Even if you break your neck, you need to go on a great family holiday where you can do things together, where you can love on each other, we can have fun. Understand that kids today are very different to when we grew up. They're under pressure. It's like a saying, stop it, don't go there, don't drink, don't do this, don't do that. We've had over the years had people in our church who don't even bother to send their kids to bounce or youth. I am amazed. They're telling their kids find worldly ways of getting filled. And then they don't understand it when their kids are drained and end up filling with the wrong things. Okay, anyway, be that, I'm not, none of you guys, so let me not rant. Okay, I want to look at, yes, where am I? The best input we ever receive is the infilling of the Spirit. And if you look at the Greek grammar, it talks about a continuous filling. Guys, we've got to learn to speak in tongues more regularly. We've got to end up becoming great worshipers. We've got to grow our prayer time. We've got to spend time with God. We've got to allow, find ways of, even in the most difficult times, of seeing an overflow of God's Holy Spirit. So I'm going to look at three ways that we can be filled in difficult times. And I'm going to talk about two stories found in the Old Testament. I always take you to the Old Testament because I know you guys don't read the Old Testament. So that's why I try to help you. Elijah and Elisha, I always get the two confused. And I'm going to read you the one and tell you the other story. Elijah, remember, he was the prophet who prophesied the drought, and the drought took place and everything got more and more difficult. There was no food, there was no water. Maybe slightly similar to what we're heading towards or in at the moment. But let me tell you, God looked after them. Now I'm going to read to you from 1 Kings 17, verse 8. Then the Lord said to Elijah, remember that Elijah had been fed by the ravens, and even the ravens stopped feeding him. Go and live in the village of Zarephath, near the city of Sidon. I have instructed, hear those words, I have instructed a widow, not a landowner or somebody with a lot, I have instructed a widow there to feed you. So he went to Zarephath. As he arrived at the gate of the village, he saw a widow gathering sticks, and he asked her, would you please bring me a little water in a cup? So she looks at him, he's a stranger, she thinks, meh, okay. And as she was going to get it, he then called her and said, bring me a bite of bread, too. So he's pushing his luck. But she said, I swear by the Lord your God that I don't have a single piece of bread in the house, okay? I have nothing. But then she mentioned she's got something. And I only have a handful of flour left in the jar and a little cooking oil in the bottom of the jug. I was just gathering a few sticks, listen to me, Buster, to cook the last meal. And then my son and I will die. It's funny how when we drain, we declare that we are finished. This is all over. And we will get grow bankrupt. Have you ever said it? I'm going big, I go bankrupt. Which of you is the spender? The non-spender will say, "We're bankrupt." I had a when we built this auditorium by faith, we had a hang of a nice guy who did an amazing amount of work for our church. He was our church treasurer. He kept saying, "We are bankrupt. We are technically bankrupt." So he used to come out 6 a.m. and pray. Okay. Elijah said, "Don't be afraid. Go ahead or go home and do just what you've said, but make a little bit of bread for me first. Then use what's left to prepare a meal for yourselves and your son. For this is what the Lord God of Israel says. There will always be flour and oil and olive oil left in your containers until the time when the Lord sends rain and the crops will grow again. So she did as Elijah said, and she and Elijah and her family continued to eat for many days. There was always enough flour and olive oil left in the container, just as the Lord had promised. Guys, what a mind-blowing story. The second story is a lady whose husband was a servant of God, a prophet. He had died suddenly. She couldn't pay her debt, and the creditor was coming to take her two boys into slavery. She cries out to Elisha, and Elisha said, she said, we've got nothing, we're finished. So Elijah said, now what have you got? It's so similar to what Andrew was saying. Guys, you haven't got nothing. You aren't totally empty. You have the Holy Spirit. You've got a flask of oil. Guys, even if you have nothing in your cupboard, if everything is bleak, you have the Holy Spirit. You have God. You have Jesus. Because the Holy Spirit brings Jesus to us. And he said, go and get as many containers as you can from friends and neighbors. Then he said, shut the door. Go home. Shut the door. Can I say, our miracles start at home. In our family, that's where we win the battle. In your prayer closet. And he said, start filling. And she filled all the containers and they sold that oil and paid the debt. Okay, where do we start? Three things. Firstly, you got to have a positive attitude towards God. Both women understandably had reason for a bad attitude. Can I say this? You may not always be in control of your circumstances, but you're always in control of your attitude. You can never one day stand before God and excuse a bad attitude. You always are in control of your attitude. And you always can make a decision through gritted teeth to trust the word of God and trust God. I will trust God. What's that one? I will trust God. Can't remember the scripture. But when you start declaring the word of God in a positive way, I want to tell you that things begin to shift. God begins to fill you and he begins to bring miracles into your life. And these two prophets had the same understanding as David. He went to hell and back before he became king. He was chased for years by King Saul. This is what he says in Psalm 23. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you're close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You know, one of our big problems when we're drained is fear. We are driven by fear of the future. And I want to tell you, we've got to say to ourselves, I will not be afraid, because God is with me and he will protect me and he will comfort me. I will not be afraid. I will not be afraid in this dark valley. God is with me. God has not left me. I want to tell you, there's an incredible power in that declaration. He says, you prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Do you know that even when your enemies circle you, even when trouble wants to strangle you, God prepares a feast of blessing for you? That's the word of God. That is the eternal word of God. It doesn't matter how long you live. It doesn't matter who is in government. It doesn't matter who you're married to. It doesn't matter who you're working for. It doesn't matter what happens. No one can take away the truth that God blesses you and prepares a feast for you, that your cup will overflow. And we've got to start declaring it. I want to encourage some of you here to take Psalm 23, type it out, print it out, and put it in your cupboard door, put it above your bathroom, wherever, put it in the toilet, and begin to repeat those words, because it is the truth. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. Do you believe that God's goodness will pursue you? You see, like that woman, you can say, I've got nothing left, nothing, nothing. We're going to die. I'm going to die. Take me, God. This life that I'm living in, it's too hard. It's too difficult. God's word says, my favorite scripture that has saved me many a time, I will cause all things to work together for good to those that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. Amen. Attitude. Secondly, God's priorities. When you put God's priorities into place, you will begin to fill and God will bless you. And you know, it's crazy because he said to the woman, no, listen to me. The first thing I want you to do is to go and make me, the servant of God, a meal. Then prepare for yourself. Because I know a lot of ladies that would have burst into tears and others who might have wanted to show a middle finger. Like, who are you to tell me in my situation to make you a meal? You might be in this church, say, all I hear is service, serving God, put your name down, do frontline, do this, do that. When is Andre and his team going to phone me up and say, how are you? Can I come for tea? Because I started my ministry, and that was expected of me. The church stayed tiny. Those people did not grow, and they did not see the blessing. You have to understand the priority of God's word. Matthew 6:33, seek the kingdom of heaven above all else, live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Proverbs 3:9-10, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce. Then he will fill your barns with grain and your vats will overflow with good wine. No one can ever change that truth. I told the story in the first service. Middle of winter, pouring with rain. Someone in our church desperately phoned me, crying. It was a man, had three small children. Please, can I see you? Tears down his face, eyes wide. Everything had gone wrong in his life. He'd been ripped off by in a business sale. Nothing. He didn't know what he was going to do. And he said, Graham, help me. I prayed to God. I said, God, what must I tell him? God says, you can't do anything and I can't do anything. I said, what? This is going on inside my spirit. God said, he has not sown any seed, so he cannot reap. Can I tell you this? You can come into church. You can walk out of church. But if you are not sowing seed, how can you reap? A farmer can have this massive field and plant three little seeds. And he can pray till the cows come home, he can sing cock-a-doodle through, do, he can do what he wants, he can bind, he can curse, he can loose, he can, what's the name, Satan, tell Satan to foot sack, he can do what he wants. He can only reap what he sows. And I said to this guy, God can't help you, you're not sowing seed, you're not serving, you're not helping people. Do you know what? That man changed. And it was quite weird. He got involved in a ministry. He was the last person to get involved in that kind of ministry. He helped so many people and his life changed. No. Before you go and make your last meal and die, make me a meal. No. They're going to take your sons away. Before they take your sons away, why don't you get out and go from neighbor to neighbor and get some empty containers? Yeah, but that's crazy. I didn't even have the energy to go from door to door. We've got nothing. I'm going to lose everything. No. Get active. Get out there. Plant some seeds. Can I recommend, if you're in a desperate state, before you leave this place, find where you can sign up to do something for God. Get into Growth Track. Think, what's this Growth Track thing? It will fill you up. It will bring the miracles to your life. The story, I know we're running out of time, but many years ago, without explaining the situation, I got a second salary. And I was so thrilled. There were so many things I needed. I was young in law. I think it was still an article clerk. And there were so many things I needed to do with that second salary. Somebody told me, it came to me that one of our pastors had not been paid. There wasn't money in the church account to pay this man. And God said, give him that second salary. I hesitated for a moment, maybe like this lady. And then I gave the money. Do you know what? I never knew in 1,000 years I'd go into full-time ministry. But do you know that in all the years we've been in full-time ministry, we have never not received a salary. You got to understand, when you sow and you obey God, he never, ever ever let you down. It's your priority. Sowing and reaping is another priority. Guys, it all connects with obedience. Two are connected. Deuteronomy 28, verse 13. If you listen to these commands of the Lord your God, I'm giving you today. If you carefully obey them, the Lord will make you. The Lord will make you. The Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You will always be on top and never be at the bottom. It was very interesting how God spoke to this lady. Then he confirmed it through the servant of God in both cases. Can I tell you that when the staff that work with me ask you to do things, we're very careful to make sure that by the grace of God, we're asking things that God wants. What God, what's your vision? What's your mission for our church? What is biblical? What is godly? We'll never ask you to tithe, for example, on money you don't have. If we ever manipulate you, you know that God is not a manipulator, because the Bible says give cheerfully. So, guys, I want to tell you, God has spoken, and then he uses a servant. And when we obey the leaders, not this robot or being controlled, I want to tell you, it releases something. It releases the infilling of the Holy Spirit. When with a joyful attitude, everything starts with our attitude, and then comes priorities, and then comes obedience. What an amazing story in both cases. How God protected and blessed not only the widows, but their families. Incredible story of being filled in a time of pressure, a time of darkness in the world. Those ladies were blessed. They were always full. They always had Christmas in July. Bible says that until the drought ended, there was always flour. There was always oil. That lady, in a crazy financial time, her debts were wiped out. In the one story, there's also, we haven't got time for it, where the child died. God blessed her with a child, and a child was raised from the dead. Are you guys understanding what I'm saying? God has called us to be filled with his Holy Spirit. And you might say, Graham, how am I before? Yes, you need to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. But as we obey God, hear him speak, our priorities are right. We've got an attitude that says, I will believe God's word no matter what. Something's going to happen in your life. You are going to have an amazing life. And I can tell you because it's in Scripture.
Thanks for listening to this week's View Church podcast.